The Certain Place. Let me put up my volume on this phone. We're talking today about The Certain Place. And as I stated online, that this is not necessarily a message, a prophetic teaching message. This message is more of a exhortation. And I feel that it will bless the body of Christ. It certainly blessed me as the Lord had me to study it on a personal level for myself. And I just felt like, you know, maybe some of us are in that bubble, you know what I'm saying? Kind of in between breakthroughs or in between blessings. And we are just asking God, like, you know, what's going on? Am I in position? Am I postured properly? Am I in alignment? You know, am I situated properly? You know, just asking the Father about some things as it pertains to our position in Him so that we can see the fruit of some of the things that we've been believing Him for. So the topic today is that certain place. And, you know, there are many scriptures that I can give you. For example, I like to open up with John 10:10, which Jesus stated that He said, I come that you may have life, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And so understanding that, you know, this life, yes, is filled with trials and filled with tests and filled with warfare and things of that nature. But God also has destined for us to be blessed. There are some things that the Lord wants us to experience. There's some things God wants us to walk into. There's some things that God wants us to embrace and manifest in this life. So it's not all about going through and coming out and getting ready to go back through again. But the Lord, He has some good things in store for us. And but there's a condition that goes along with that. And the condition is that we have to be in that place of alignment. We have to be in that certain place. So, you know, he does come that we may have life, and He does desire that we have that abundant life. But that comes with a condition. One of my daughters said recently, it comes with a fine print. And I think, you know, many times we don't read the fine print. You know, we as a people, we want to hear about the blessings and God, what you're going to give me, God, what you're going to do, God, what you're going to, you know, what's going to happen next. And we put all of that burden on the Lord as it pertains to what we're receiving from Him. But I think that it behooves us to pull in the station for a moment and say, you know what, God, let me come in for a checkup and let me just make sure that the promises that you have made for my life, let me make sure that I'm in the right place with you so that I can see your hand, you know, and even in being in that certain place, resistance will still come. But in the midst of that, there's a favor and there's a strength that comes along with resistance, even in being in the right place. You have a grace from the Father that will strengthen you and keep you even in that place. Okay. So being in that certain place doesn't mean that everything is going to go well. You know, every day won't be roses and strawberries. There'll still be warfares. There'll still be times of spiritual conflict. There'll still be times when you know, will have to challenge certain things. But above and beyond that, you know that you are in the right place for God to move. You know that you're in the right place for the answers of your prayers to be manifested. You know that you're in the right place where the prophecies that you received can be fulfilled in your life. You know, because you're in that certain place. So, and let me just say this before I even go further. Let me just preface the teaching by saying this. Your certain place does not always have to be a physical place. Does not have to be limited to a physical or a geographical location, because you can be in the right place and still miss God. Judas is a prime example among many. Saul was in the right place and he missed God. Judas was in the right place. I mean, he was right up under Jesus' arm. I mean, how can you be right there in the presence of God and not receive what God has for you? I mean, there are people that are they show up to the meetings. They show up to the interviews. You know what I'm saying? They are actually in the right place. They're actually in that moment in time where God can do the things that He has promised and that He has destined, has desired to do. But another definition of your certain place can be the condition of your heart. And that's the case that we find with Judas. Judas was in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he missed it because the condition, the place of his heart was off. So, you know, as we discuss and as we talk about this, as we go into this message, exhortation for today, understand that your certain place is not limited to you being in the right place at the right time, but your certain place is also defined by the condition of your heart. Because as I stated, you can be at the well. You know, Rebecca, she could have been at the well, but you know what? The test for her to decide whether she would be Isaac's wife or not, would be whether she filled that trout that fed those camels water, fed those, you know, whether she filled the buckets with the water from the well. So it's not just so much being in church, or it's not just so much having a title, or it's not so much being, you know what I'm saying? It's not so much where you are, so much as the condition of your heart where you are. All of that plays a very important role. And I'm telling you, I've seen this. I'm sure many of you have seen this, to where people are right there at the edge of a breakthrough, man. I mean, they're right there at the edge of deliverance. They're right there at the edge of meeting that spouse, or, you know, embracing a new relationship. And their heart is off. The enemy has set them up with some nonsense. Let me tell you my very short testimony, some things that I went through just recently. Something had happened. I mean, you know, come on, things happen. Praise God. And this person had really, now this happened like last week. This is how fresh, and I know this is going to be a dated message, but this situation happened to me a week ago. And someone did something that really set me off. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm a peaceable person. I love Jesus and all of that. But, you know, and I'm long-suffering. It takes a minute to move me, you know what I'm saying, to the place to where I'm kind of heated with you. God has given me patience and long-suffering with people, and I bless him for it. But this particular individual really pushed my button. And the enemy tried to take that thing and really work my heart against that person. The enemy tried to take that thing and really work, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he tried to, you know, when you, and I'm going to get to the message, but I believe I'm sharing this for somebody. Okay, so hear me when I say this. When you are believing God for some things in your life, the Bible says guard your heart, because not only is God positioning you and arranging circumstances to qualify you and to walk you into what he has for you, but understand also that the enemy will try to come and move you out of place, to where when God opens the door for you, your heart is so jacked up and you're so filled with bitterness and resentment and rage that you don't even qualify. You know what I'm saying? You've suffered and you waited and you fasted and you have sought the Lord all this long time. And now you get to the place to where God is getting, I mean, you at your well, you at a Kairos moment in time where things are shifting for you and God is opening doors for you, and you at the right place and you at the right time. And my God in heaven, somebody does something that sets you off, you know, and that happened for me. That happened to me last week. Man, God was, you know, I had to really go to God. I had to really go to the Lord. I said, because God, I recognized the tactic of the enemy. I recognize that, you know what, God is opening doors for me. God is doing some great things in my life. I'm in a new season. I bless God for it. Amen. And so the enemy came to try to throw me off. He came to try to throw some bitterness in my heart against that individual, to throw resentment in my heart. He came with fiery darts to try to pierce my heart and to try to cause me to look at this person differently. And let me tell you something, it took a few days. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That blow, some blows, you just don't get up off the ground and brush your knees and walk, you know, walk away. Some things take you a minute to get up off the ground and brush your knees and straighten back up. And this particular thing, the enemy hit me so hard, I'm telling y'all. He tried to really, really, really take me down through there. And I had to go to God. I had to go to God. I said, Lord, I said, I recognize the tactic of the enemy. I know that you're doing some great things in my life. And listen, like we talked about, I don't know if it was you guys on the School of Prophets, because I get them sometimes mixed up. But we talked about how Balak couldn't curse Israel. He had to provoke the people. He had to seduce the people to provoke God. And so many times, and our topic for those of you just logging in is the certain place. And I know I'm kind of all over the place right now, but this is for somebody, okay? As you're moving towards your certain place, you have to also keep your eyes open. The Bible tells us to watch as well as pray. You have to always keep your eyes open, because the enemy, you know, he's like in Genesis, the Bible says he's like a crouching tiger. He's like a crouching tiger, and he's looking for any opportunity to, okay, so he's looking for any opportunity to pounce. You know what I'm saying? The Lord told Cain, he said, check your countenance. He said, because sin is at the door like a crouching tiger. And so that crouching tiger is just waiting for you to open it. He can't just come in, but he's waiting for you to open up that door so that he can get access. And let me tell you something. When the devil comes in, you know, he's not a polite guest that just sits on the couch in the living room and waits to go into other rooms of your house. When he comes in, he takes over, okay, to the extent that we have to literally put him out. But anyway, you know, to make a long story short, I went through this thing last week where the enemy, the devil used this person. I mean, the devil used this person. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And it really pierced my heart. It really hurt me. It really bothered me. It really frustrated me. It really offended me. And like I said, I'm not a babe in Christ. It takes a lot to move me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, I've been doing this for a long time. And so I'm not easily moved by what folks say or what folks do. But this particular thing, and see, this is how you know the enemy watches you. He knows what floats your boat. You know, he knows what it takes to shut you down. He knows what, because he monitors you, okay? And so he knows what it takes. He knows who to use. He knows what circumstances to get a hold of to try to move you and try to corrupt and pervert the way you feel toward people and try to corrupt your heart even before the Lord. And so I had to go to God and check this out. Let me tell you something. Now that was bad. I didn't tell you all the circumstances because I don't do that. But I tell you this, here's what made the matter worse. The person didn't even say, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even apologize. And so now I'm dealing with this, like this person did this and they didn't even have a common sense of a gnat to say, I apologize. I didn't mean to do that. I mean, they knew I felt some kind of way about it. And so here too, now the enemy is, you know, really trying to work this thing and, you know, and trying to, you know, cause me to keep, like Peter, take my eyes off Jesus and focus on the storm so you can sink. And so I had to go to God for that thing. And I said, Lord, I said, you know me, you know my inward parts, you know all about me. And I said, God, this thing really bothers me. And then the fact that this person didn't even acknowledge, you know, what they did, God, that just added to the, you know what I'm saying? It added to the irritation that I was feeling in my spirit. And the Lord told me, he said, you got to forgive them even when they don't apologize. And he said, you're not forgiving them for them. You're doing that for you so you can move past it. And then he began to reveal to me, and he said, you know what? He said, not everyone has a strong character. Not everyone can admit to their wrongs. And let me tell you something. I don't know why I'm going here, okay? But this is for somebody. But the Lord began to tell me, he said, listen, he said, not everyone has a strong character. And not everybody has the ability to come back and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. How can I fix it? How can I work? And God said, are you going to stay in that place? So again, and of course, thank God, I've been delivered. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is, when we talk about the certain place, I'm not just limiting that to a geographical location. Oh, well, if you show up to church Sunday at 3:00, God's going to be there and he's going to open up the windows of heaven. Well, you can be in church at 10:00 and your heart can be filled with animosity and bitterness and all that crazy stuff that tried to overtake me last week. And you can miss God. You can be in the midst of a move of God and miss God because your heart, your heart's posture is not conducive to God coming in and doing what needs to be done in your life. So let's try to move forward. But I wanted to kind of preface the message with that, to let you know that, let me tell you something, the enemy doesn't fight fair. And especially, and this is what you got to understand, when you are right there at the door, when you are right there at the place of a breakthrough, when you think about Joshua, Caleb, the children of Israel, God was showing them, this is what I have for you. What happened? Oh, out of 12 spies, 10 came back. The overwhelming majority came back and discomfited the people, broke their spirit to the point that they could not believe God. They were in the right place. They were surrounded by Moses, their leader. They had actually been in the promised land. Some of them had actually tasted the fruit. Okay. They had seen the thing, the place that God had for them, but their heart's posture was filled with doubt and unbelief, and they could not believe God for the things that God was going to do. And the Bible says that they died right there. Let me tell you something. You don't want to, as a matter of fact, I prophesy to you, you will not die in that place right before you get to your certain place, because that place before you get to your certain place, that's where you're going to be tested. That's where you're going to be challenged. That's where you're going to be provoked by the devil. Even people close to you. Come on. Those are the ones that can really do it. You know what I'm saying? That place right before you get to your certain place is a very pivotal. It is a very critical point, critical moment for you. So be vigilant, be very careful. You know, and you can feel it. You can feel that God is about to do something tremendous in your life, because that's when all the hell, you know, all the fire, everything increases. Folk you hadn't heard from in years come against you. People you don't know come against you. Folk, you know what I'm saying? It just seems like right where you're about to cross over and come into that certain place, that's where the enemy tries to meet you. And that's where that demonic interception begins to take, intersection takes place. So, in Genesis chapter 1:28, the Lord has pronounced a blessing over all mankind. And one thing he said, I want you to fill the earth and I want you to subdue it. In other words, when God places you, because remember, God placed Adam in the garden. And you know what? Before God placed Adam in that garden, God had already outfitted that garden for everything Adam would need. Adam wouldn't have to hunt for food. Adam wouldn't even have to hunt really for a mate. Everything, because that was on the inside of him. But everything that Adam needed to be successful, everything Adam needed to sustain his life was in that garden. The Garden of Eden was that certain place that God had designed and that God had ordained for Adam. Now, and the enemy showed up in the garden. Adam got married in the garden. Adam had children in the garden. Adam began to name the animals. So you see that the Garden of Eden was Adam's certain place. And that's what your certain place is. Your certain place is where your blessing is. It's where all your rivers are. It's where your increase is. And again, you know, your certain place, from a geographical standpoint, you may have several certain places. You understand? I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. But for that, for that particular certain place, that was where Adam's resources came from. And so you find, and like I said in my opening, that some of you may be wondering, like, God, I feel like I'm in a dry place. I feel like I'm not really moving with you. I'm not really growing. I'm not being challenged. Everything seems to be drying up. You know, things are just going awry. You know, what's going on? When that happens, find out from the Lord, God, am I in my certain place? Okay? Because listen, even as Adam was in his certain place, that's where his provisions were. That's where he walked with God. That's where the fellowship and the community, and it wasn't hard. You understand? When you're in that certain place with the Lord, your fellowship with the Lord, excuse me, when you're in your certain place, your fellowship with the Lord is not hard. It's not hard to pray. It's not hard to worship because you're in that place, praise God, and you're in that certain place, and that's where God is. But when you're out of place, when you're not in the certain place, then it becomes a struggle. The word of God says the way of a transgressor is hard. So when you have not found the certain place, okay, still speaking of a geographical location, things are hard for you. That may be time to shift. That may be time to move. And you know, I didn't want to get into it right now, but I feel like I'm heading into it anyway. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, matter of fact, if you look at Elijah, I did a thing on Elijah the other day, but if you look at Elijah, when he called for the drought, God, listen to what God told him in 1 Kings 17, 3 through 4. This is what God said to the prophet. He said, get away from here. Okay, here's a sign. Sometimes when you're in a dry place, and listen, some even in a, back in the book of Ruth, the Bible says that Bethlehem experienced a famine. Now, in that particular case, God just wanted the people to wait it out. Okay, he wanted the people to wait it out because the season of plenty was coming. But in some famines, and you got to discern this and you got to hear from God for yourself, you know, you know, because your famine may require you to run. Somebody else's famine may require them to stand. So you have to hear God for yourself as far as what he wants you to do. But in this particular instance where there was a drought, God told Elijah, he said, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded ravens to feed you there. So listen. In your certain place, your provisions are there. God told Elijah exactly where to go. He told him where to, when to leave, you know, get up and go. It's time to go. And then he didn't just tell Elijah to get up and go and just wander aimlessly. So you have to watch that too. People say, well, I feel like God is leading me to go. Well, then along with that is the direction for the next place. Because, you know, we're not nomads. God has a place for you. So he tells Elijah, get away from here, turn eastward. He gives him direction and he will give you direction. He will give me direction. He will tell you, turn eastward. And then I want you to hide by the brook. In other words, in times of warfare, God has a certain place to hide you. Now, that certain place may be a geographical place, as in this case with Cherith, or it can be a spiritual place. Sometimes God may hide you by telling you to get off Facebook. God may hide you by telling you to stay home. You understand that? Like I said, you have to hear God on where that certain place is, because there's a place, even in times of warfare, that God will hide you. There's a place for when David was running from Saul, God had caves and places for even to different camps. Listen, check this out. Even in one particular instance, David went down to the Philistine camp. My God, can you imagine hiding from the enemies and God sending you to another enemy's camp to hide you? Now, that's a whole nother message. I had to study that for my own self. But what I'm saying is, you know, listen to the Lord in times of spiritual warfare. How he, you know, there may be times he wants you to fight. you know, you may have been built like what's it, Esther told the people, Mordecai told Esther, he said, how do you know that you weren't called for such a time as this? So there may be times when you have to stand. There may be other times where God has to hide you. And wherever that is, that's your certain place. In that certain place, even in your season of hiding, God will provide for you. God will equip you. God will take care of you. God will put people in your life like he did with David, even in the cave, even in his weakened state. God will send soldiers and things to him to keep him encouraged. You understand? So God's not just going to shut you off, praise God, on an island by yourself and just leave you, you know, to just leave you. God's not going to do that. If you're in a certain place, if your certain place is a hiding spot, even there, remember Obadiah with the 100 prophets in the cave? They were hiding from Jezebel because she was cutting off the heads of the prophets, praise God. And God raised up Obadiah to be the prophet's hiding place. So there'll be some people who will be your hiding place. For some seasons in your life, you may have to move in with somebody. God forbid, if you're in a domestic violence situation, your certain place is in somebody's house. Your certain place may be in a shelter. You understand? In that certain place, listen, your certain place doesn't have to be where you want to be, but that certain place is where God has ordained you to be so that he can provide for you, so that he can protect you, so that he can strengthen and build you and equip you for when he releases you to your next certain place. Okay? So certain places are very, very important. And so again, going back to Elijah, in this certain place, he was fed by dirty birds. Don't you know in the Old Testament, you don't eat ravens? Ravens were dirty birds. But you find that this was the case for Elijah, is that he had to, even when he went from there to the widow, he had to, God, it was a humbling experiences. So some of your certain places will be a humbling experience, whereas you may be used to working on a certain job and you're used to work making a certain salary. You're used to six figures. But for this particular season of your life, God is saying, I'm shutting that door. I'm, like God told Elijah, get away from here. OK, and I want you to turn eastward and I want you now to work for Kodak. And as you work for Kodak, you're not going to make this salary. You're going to make that salary. But guess what? Even in that certain place, I'm going to take care of you. Because I'm preparing you. There's somebody you need to meet in the Kodak company. There's somebody you need to connect with at the Kodak company. Your husband, your spouse, your wife may be at the Kodak company. There may be an apostle. Or, you know what I'm saying? There's some. If God is moving you to a certain place, there's a reason why. God has a purpose for everything he has designed for your life. God doesn't do nothing for nothing. You got to understand that your life has been mapped out before your parents met, before their parents met, before their parents met. Nothing can take your life by surprise. And so for some of us, when we see that God, you know, begins to shut doors and things start happening, you start experiencing a little bit of turbulence, that's not the time for you to walk in fear. That's not the time for you to get, the Bible says, to be anxious over nothing. You got to trust the God of your salvation. You have to understand that, you know what, God, if this is where you need me to be right now, then there's something here that you have for me. There's something here you want me to do. There's something here you need me to learn. There's somebody here I need to connect with. So, God, I'm going to abide in my certain place. And in Elijah's case, that certain place didn't last a long time. It was just long enough to protect him from Jezebel. It was long enough to strengthen Elijah because he had been running and he had been in warfaring and his mind had gotten weary. And y'all know that's how some of us are. You just get weary. Sometimes you get weary, praise God. And not to the point you're weary with God, but, you know, just weary from the battle. Amen. And there comes a time where God will pull you in, even times when Jesus just stole away. You understand? There's sometimes God will just steal you away and just sit you off somewhere, praise God, different and set apart from the ordinary. And you're not on punishment. You didn't do anything wrong. Well, you know, maybe not always the case, praise God, because he will sit you down if you need to be sat down. But what I'm saying is that may not always be the case. You know, sometimes, especially those of you who are in leadership and you're used to traveling and so forth, you may be in a season now, God say, you're a certain place, I just need you to be home. I need to pull you in. That has happened to me. God will say, you know what, you've been out there, now I need you to pour into your house. I need you to minister to your sons and daughters at home. And it doesn't mean that your anointing has lifted. It doesn't mean pray, you know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, then we need to deal with pride. Because some of our certain places will be the place where God will deal with pride, if that's the case, okay? That's not, you know, that everybody doesn't deal with that, but Believe me, some people do. If they don't get called for an engagement, you know, they get depressed and then they start inventing their own stuff. I've seen it and you've seen it too. Praise God. They have a conference for anything. Let's have a conference, a coffee conference. Let's have a shower curtain conference. I mean, just nonsense stuff just to keep moving. And God is saying, that's not where the grace is right now. Your certain place is to be quiet, or your certain place is to be at home. Okay? So you be obedient in your certain place. Obey God in your certain place, because as I stated with Adam, that's where your resources are for that hour of your life. That's where your healing is. That's where your strength is. That's where your training is for the next season. Because your next season of your certain place may be a season of warfare. Okay? Your next season may be a place of battle. So wherever your certain place is, abide there and be content with that. Trust me. Like I said earlier, John 10:10, God's got some great things in store for you. He's not going to shove you off somewhere and leave you there indefinitely. If he's sitting you in a certain place, go with God. Go with God. And let me tell you something. When it's time for you to be released, or he tells Elijah, okay, now it's time to get up and move from here. Let me tell you something. When you move from that certain place to the next certain place, you're going to have everything you need. You're going to have everything you need. So there was two other scriptures I wanted to share with you all, as it pertains to the certain place. So we talked about how the certain place can be a physical location, a geographic location, or it can be the condition of your heart. So you want to make sure that whatever that thing is, whatever God is doing in your life, make sure your heart is right. Okay. And listen, check this out. You can pray as often as you need to. You don't have to wait for altar call at church. You don't have to wait for the next prayer line. You know where you are. For some of us, we may be in seasons right now where your certain place is laying on the altar. You understand? Your certain place is just stretching out before God. And that's where God has you. Because, you know, there are things in your life that God is delivering you from and purging you from. Soul ties need to be cut so God can send some real folks in your life. You know, there are things that God is doing. Give God time to do that. Lay on that altar. And I don't mean at church, but your own. You should have your own prayer altar. You know, it's erect your own prayer altar at home. And if that's where God has you, let God do that thing in you. Because I'm telling you, that can be some of the hindrances to your certain place. That can be the reason why we're in the right place at the right time and still missing God. Okay? And listen, don't envy another man's certain place. Let me just put that out there. If somebody else is God is blessing them and opening up doors for them, pray. The Bible said, rejoice than rejoice. God is not respecting persons. If you walk upright and do the right thing, your time is coming. Your time is not going to be like their time, because your time is your time. You have to understand that we were created, not cloned. So God is not obligated to do the same thing he did for you that he did for somebody else. Your thing is going to be different. It's going to be what you need. It's going to be suited for you. It's going to be built for you. And it's going to be what you need. Okay. So let me just say this, that, hold on one minute. Praise God. Timely word. Hallelujah. So let me just say this, that, where am I going? Let me tell you about this. This is what happened with Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. Y'all remember the Tower of Babel? You remember Nimrod? Now, check this out. They were in a place. It was a certain place. And you know what they did? They frustrated it. People can literally, like I said earlier, can be in the right place at the right time and do something so stupid. Have you ever seen, you're looking at them like, what is wrong with you? I mean, you're in the presence of God. You are right there at the point of a breakthrough. You're surrounded. You got everybody in your life that you need. You got the right apostles. You got the right prophets. You got the right teachers. You got the right boss. You got the right spouse. You at the right job. You're everywhere. You're in that. I mean, you couldn't be in a better position. And I'll be doggone, some people will be right there where God has everything at their disposal and do something so stupid. Like Judas, how can you betray the Lord of glory for 30 pieces of silver? How can you? Have you ever? Maybe I have done this. I have looked at some people and scratched my head, and, you know, not judging and you know, because come on, we all can have those moments. But I'm like, my God, you were right there. You were right there. You were at the tiptoe of deliverance. You were at the tiptoe of a breakthrough. And look, when you find Nimrod, he had all these people together. Do you know what they could have done for the kingdom? Did you know what they could have done for the Lord? And instead of them glorifying God with all of those people on one accord, and y'all know in church life, that's real hard to get everybody on one accord. You find two or three, but honey, for the most part, it's warfare. But in this particular instance, The Bible says, here it is in Genesis 11 and 4, come let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. And don't you know, that's God said, you know what, you coming together for that purpose and to against that purpose. And that's exactly what I'm going to allow to happen in your life. You know what I'm saying? And so you find later on in Genesis 11, 8, so the Lord scattered them. The same thing that they were trying to avoid is what happened. Because they were in that certain place. They were right there in the presence of God. They were right there in the midst of a people that could have done great exploits. And instead, somebody came up with a brilliant idea, but it was not a God idea. Remember the same thing happened with David and Uzzah. When Uzzah got killed, praise God, David tried to transport the ark. And, oh God, you cannot manufacture a move of God. It has to be the way God designed it. The Lord designed the Ark of the Covenant to be carried or to be borne on the shoulders of the priest. Even now, we have to bear the weight of God's glory. We can't push it off on nobody else. You can't figure out another way to get God to come in. And you cannot manufacture the presence of God. And so what David did, it was a great idea. They had this long journey from the Philistine camp. They had taken, had removed the Ark all that those years. Praise God, the Spirit of God was held hostage, if I can say that, you know, in this heathen nation. And so God opens the door and allows them to go and remove the ark, bring it back to Jerusalem. They're dancing and praising God. Certain place, certain time. This was the right thing. But the heart posture was off. People of God, do you hear what I'm saying? You can be in the right place. You can be at the right time. But the heart, David's heart posture was off. He did not fully obey the commandments of the Lord. He came up with his own doctrine, praise God, to transport the ark, and it resulted in someone's death. It brought great shame, embarrassment, and humiliation. The same thing that we see happening in Genesis 11 and 8. God said, you know what? You're coming together, whereas you could have done this great thing, but you did not do that. So now I'm going to bring shame. And God sent a spirit of confusion. Notice the devil did not do this. So this can, God can send a spirit of confusion in the midst of a camp of a people who should have been moving with God, who should have been fully manifesting the purpose of their certain place. God can send in a spirit of confusion. Now, praise God, everybody's scattered. Here you get French, Spanish, Scandinavian, Japanese, Chinese. You got all of these different languages, praise God. Now we've got to study from Rosetta Stone. Now we've got to take language classes from middle, high school, and college. Some of us have to get degrees in second and third languages because of Genesis 11 and 4. We are still, I don't want to say suffering because it's a beautiful thing to have people speak different languages. But what I'm saying is some of the consequences of some of our crazy decisions, they don't just last for a short period of time. Some of our consequences last throughout generations. That's why many of us, when we come to Christ, we've got to get delivered from soul ties. We got delivered from generational stuff. You got to get delivered from gambling. You got to get delivered from alcoholism and drug things that's been floating and passed down through the generation line because of consequences, because of the sins of our forefathers. So you find it here today. The next Spanish person you see talking to, or the Japanese person, praise God, you can go right back. Well, this is what God did. And again, praise God for beautiful languages. Thank God for Jesus. But what I'm saying is this was a consequence because of what they refused to do in the certain place. Same thing with going back to Adam and Eve in that beautiful place. God is walking with them. Come on, God will come and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. God and Adam were friends. I mean, they were, you know, God would speak to Adam and give God, Adam this wisdom. Adam didn't have to work for nothing. Adam didn't even have to work the ground. Listen, he didn't have to water the crops. The mist came up from out the ground. That's why in Noah's day, they were so shocked when Noah said it was going to rain. They thought it was crazy because they had never seen rain before. The dew, God was nurturing the earth from the ground up. Okay. And so when Noah said rain, they had never seen anything like that. All right. So understand that our decisions in the certain place, it matters. And when we're not careful, there can be some long-term consequences for making the wrong decision in a certain place. Going back to Adam and Eve, the serpent came in because, as I stated, even in your certain place, the enemy can come. Okay, Job was in his certain place. He prayed faithfully every day. The man was upright, more upright than any other man in the earth. So hear me when I say this. Sometimes the challenges and things will come. It doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It's just, that's just the way it's designed. Okay, we're going to be tested. We're going to be challenged. We're going to have to go through some things, but God is with us. Okay, he's with us. He will never leave us, even through the hardest of your trials and through the darkest of your midnight seasons. God is there. I think I read earlier. Oh, I'm sorry. That was another class. But I was talking about how at midnight, God sent a spirit of death to the firstborns of Egypt. Okay, God will fight for you. In the midnight season, when the devil's not even, you know, not even thinking about how God is going to avenge you and how God is going to fight for you in the midnight season. You know, at midnight, nobody's paying attention. Nobody pays attention at midnight. But at midnight, the spirit of death came through Egypt and delivered God's people. But that was another class. I'm sorry about that. Praise God. But anyway, God will avenge you. So even when you're in your certain place and things, you know, get rocky, don't get up and go yet. OK, because there are some people who will be in the right place at the right time and the enemy will show up and I'll be doggone. They won't pack up and run. You know what I'm saying? This is what happened in Bethlehem, Judah, during the time of Ruth. There was a famine in the land and Elkanah and Naomi and their two sons moved to Moab. You know what? They never came back. So let that be a lesson even to us. When we're in that certain place and God has everything we need in that certain place. And God has called us to that certain place, whatever your certain place is, okay, whatever that thing is, understand that we don't have permission to leave until God releases us. Like back to Elijah, okay, I know I'm all over the place. I pray y'all can catch me or just go back to the playback, okay? But in the case of Elijah, when the brook dried up, when the raven stopped coming, then God said, arise, go down to Zarephath, for I have a widow and I have commanded her to sustain thee. When God releases you from the certain place, there's some other place for you to go. And like I said, it may not be what you want, but it's what you need. And at that place of the widow, praise God, she blessed him. He blessed her. He was able to break the spirits of starvation and genocide and all of that good stuff. The woman lived. She sustained him. And he was able to go back and finish a portion of his assignment. Get up and go get Jehu and all of them cast. Okay. So understand there are a lot of dimensions connected to your certain place. Praise God. Rebecca found her husband in her certain place. Adam, he birthed his wife, okay, in his certain place. Elijah was nurtured by the Father of all glory, even through the use of a dirty bird, in his certain place, okay? Because God has designed, God is your provider. He is your shepherd. And wherever you are, even in David's case, there was one particular scripture, I can't recall where it is right now, but there was one particular instance where David was hungry. And he went to the priest, went to the temple, and he ate the showbread off the table. Now, if anybody knows your Old Testament history, anybody just can't eat the showbread off the table. Amen. It was for the priest. It was saved before the Lord. Praise God for those 7 days, 12 loaves of bread, which that number 12 is symbolic. And I don't have time to get into that. But it means the multifaceted faces of God's glory. So there you go. But no one was allowed to eat that. It would stay there before the presence of God and in the temple until after the 7 days where the priest would restore. Because, you know, God wants fresh bread in the house for his people. Well, David was so hungry, he took up the showbread and he ate it. Okay. So what I'm saying is wherever you are in your certain place, God will provide for you, even if it's with an unorthodox method. You understand? And if it's by a bird or if it's by a widow or if it's in a cave, God is going to provide for you in your certain place. You never need worry about that. Let me try to finish this up because I've got a lot I've got to get done today. One final scripture I think I want to leave with you. And that's in Luke chapter 19:30. And Luke chapter 19:30, there was a colt tied. Okay. And Jesus told that. He told them to untie that donkey, the colt. He's untied him and bring him here and let me ride him. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, listen, that little baby donkey, okay, is symbolic to many of us that are tied up, tangled up in certain situations, tangled up in the wrong place. But you know what? As long as you continue to be faithful over the few things. Some of you are tied up in bad relationships, bad marriages, bad whatever. Praise God. You're on a job that you hate. Amen. But let me tell you something. Stay faithful right where you are and allow God to move you. That donkey tied up represents a lot of us. I think he even preached a message on that too. It's been a while ago. But anyway, when it's time, God will come for you. He sent them to untie that donkey and he rode that thing. In other words, that donkey had no purpose at all. Just tied up, praise God. Just, you know, just bound. Bound up, restricted in movement. Couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Couldn't be who, what he wanted to be. But you know what? God saw purpose in that. And I maintain to tell some of you right now, some of you are saying, you know what, prophets, I'm listening to you and I'm not in my certain place. I don't know how I got here, but I know this is not God. I don't feel God. I'm dried. I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm about to die. I mean, you just feel like this is just not it. Okay. But what you do, if God can release that donkey into his purpose, God can release you. If God can, and why is it always donkeys? Even in Balaam's day, God used a donkey to speak to the prophet, to rebuke the prophet. So let me tell you this, that, you know, no matter what your circumstances are that may be binding you or that may be tying you up, the Lord Jesus will come. He will come and he will untie the rope and his glory will rest upon you. And listen, as that donkey had the most proudest moment of his life. Let me tell you something. You're about to what? Thank you, Jesus. You are about to walk into one of the most greatest moments of your life. People have cast you down. They have cast you out. Praise God. They have shut you off. They have shoved you away. They see no purpose, no destiny in you whatsoever. Amen. You're just working that job. Praise God. Monday through Friday. You don't see no purpose in it. You done lost all your zeal for it. You just collect your paycheck and go. Praise God. You don't see no promotion. You don't see the increase on your paycheck, but yet your bills are increasing. Amen. More expenses and repairs and things at home. But I maintain to tell you, Jesus is coming through there and he's untying that rope. Hallelujah. He's untying that rope. And he's releasing you, praise God, into your purpose, into your destiny. I'm getting some feedback on Facebook now. For glory to God. Some of you are receiving this thing because I feel the presence of God so strong. Listen, your days of being tied up to the pole are over. I prophesy this thing over your life. Your days of being tied to the pole are over. Your days of being shut down and shoved to the side are over. The Lord is saying to you, get up from there. God is coming down through your street. And I don't mean your geographical street. I mean your spiritual street. He is coming after his sheep. He is coming after his chosen. He is coming after his elect. God has not shoved you off. Praise God. He said, I will not cast you off forever. There was a season of your life where God had to ostracize you and God had to push you to the side. Praise God. He had to leave you in the tomb like he did Lazarus for 4 days. God has allowed some of your stuff to stink. Praise God. To the point where people don't see no hope whatsoever. Matter of fact, you don't even see hope. You don't even see, how am I going to come out of this? How is my marriage going to be restored? How are my children going to be delivered from this thing? How is my ministry going to flourish? How is my business ever going to get up off the ground? But I maintain to tell you, man of God, woman of God, that Jesus has come to set you free. Who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. So there's coming now a deliverance, a yoke destroying anointing that's going to sever the cord between you and that thing has been holding you hostage, and you're going to be released into your purpose. And even as that donkey, that little weak little donkey, not even something, praise God, just the Lord said, I'm going to take the weak things and confound the wise. This won't even make sense what God is about to do in your life. But God said, I'm going to do this thing because you have been waiting for me. You have been faithful in the little place. You have been faithful in the weak place. God said, I have been your strength. I have been the one that have kept you from losing your mind. I'm the one kept you from ODing. I'm the one kept you from backsliding and committing adultery. God said, I have kept you even when your mind, praise God, was split in two between whether I should serve God or not. God said, I have been the keeper of your faith. I am the Lord said, I am even the, my God, my glory is even being restored upon your countenance, upon your face. God said, I'm the lifter up of your head. And so even as that donkey that everybody cast off, praise God, had an opportunity to wear the mantle of God's glory as it rolled down the streets of Jerusalem, and there will be a coronation, there will be a celebration. God has already ordained people who will sing your praises, not to the point of pride, no, but I'm talking about folk who will be happy for the thing that God is doing in your life. I'm talking about God is about to arrange and ordain and gather and surround some people in your life who will celebrate your breakthrough, who will celebrate you being released from the cave, being released from that tied up, praise God, pole, praise God, sitting outside, being dusty and dry. God said a season of refreshing is coming to you. A season of restoration is coming to you, for the Lord said you have found that certain place. And he's saying to you, my son, my daughter, I have counted your tears. I have heard your cries. He said, wherewith you have cried out to me, and I have come to deliver, and I have come to deliver with a strong hand. So no longer shall you be shut off, and no longer shall you be cast to the side or ostracized. For the Lord said, this day I will raise your name up from the dust. Oh, God. And I hear the Lord say, even as I raise you up, those that are connected to you, praise God, because I can just imagine in my prophetic imagination that as Praise God, that donkey was released. I can imagine the other colts that were tied up, and I know the animals, but just bear with me for a moment. I can imagine they looked at that donkey and said, you know what? If Jesus can call him from the pole, he can call me too. So as God raises you up, let me tell you something. There's going to be a people that are going to be able to rise up right along with you. Praise God. There are people who are watching you rise because God said, I'm going to teach them faith through watching your life. And I'm going to teach them how to endure by watching you go through. So listen, I'm getting ready to close this line today. Praise God. Because I didn't mean to preach it, but God is good. I feel the anointing. I feel the glory of God, and I feel like there is a yoke-destroying anointing, praise God, and I knew it when I posted it on the page. I felt just a strong spirit of exhortation coming over me today, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Stay encouraged, people of God. Stay encouraged. Don't put a period where God put a comma, praise God. This thing that you're facing right now is just temporary. God's just using this thing to build you. He's using it to mold you. Let God have his way. Let patience have his perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So let me maintain to tell you, praise God, be fruitful, be multiplied in your certain place, be obedient, serve God with your whole heart, and do everything God tells you to do in your certain place. Because let me tell you something, God's got some great things in store for you, and the half has yet to be told. So we love you in Jesus. I pray that you have been encouraged. Amen. I pray that you have heard from heaven for your own stuff, praise God. And I just look forward to hearing some of these praise reports. I look forward to reading some of your feedback, praise God, how this word has blessed you, how this word has activated you, praise God, because there has been also an activation in this message as well. I felt it, praise God. Some of you have been activated, praise God, to do some greater works. Amen. And because God, you're in your certain place, okay? This time right now, this message, this is your certain place. And God required you to listen to it. God required you to open your spirit to receive the fruit of it. This is your certain place. And God said, you're about to see the greater glory. Amen. From the manifestation of this message, you're going to see it resulted in your life. You're going to see the results in your life. So listen, we love you in Jesus' name. I thank God for you all. You all keep me challenged. Y'all keep me encouraged. Praise God. Some of you have sown seeds. Some of you have sent me pictures of your family members. Praise God. Some of you have sent me cards. And I just, some of you have really loved on me. And I appreciate you. Amen. I appreciate your support. And I just pray that we go on and be what God has for us to be. Amen. Because we got a great work to do. And God wants everybody on one accord. One mind, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And it's all to the glory of God. So be blessed. We look forward to next week. Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded.